beginning with the Beatitudes. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
The reading is continued from verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all things of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
Good morning again. An exciting week. We've just finished putting together the preaching program for 2012. We'll be looking at Matthew for a whole term, and we're looking at the book of Exodus. We're looking at Philippians, looking at Micah, looking at... what else are we looking at? Oh, lots of stuff. And some really tricky questions during the year as well. We're looking at the Apostles' Creed as a statement of faith. So much stuff to look at. And just reminded me how good God is to us in His Word, that He... He just gives us so much in it. So it's a real privilege to come before Him and just to learn from Him and have Him speak to us. So let me pray and just commit this time to Him. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word so much that each week we can gather around the Bible and hear what You have to speak to us. Father, we pray for hearts that are open to receive Your Word and to be wise in the way we hear and the way we put this into practice in our life, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an outline in your newsletter on the middle page, and I think you'll find that helpful for this topic. There's a bit of a summary there of things I'm going through a little bit faster than you might think, and they're all there in front of you to take home. Well, what a week it has been for cricket. Now, those of you who know me know I'm not a cricket fan, but you cannot escape the news this week. Clarkey, 329. Now, am I right? Is that 6 off Bradman's highest? Is that right? Jack should know. 5 off, is it? Wow. That's pretty impressive, wasn't it? If you don't know Michael Clarke, he's the captain of the Australian cricket team, and that's the extent of my cricket knowledge. Just so you know. But what an amazing turn it's been for Michael Clarke. Here is the man who was despised by the press, and you could say by most of the Australian public, until this week. And all of a sudden he has the blanket approval of, it seems, nearly most of the population of Australia, because he got 3 ton, as they call it in cricket terms. That's also the extent of my knowledge in cricket. Those of you who aren't cricket fans, I'm sorry, I'm not either, so I sympathise with you. But it just emphasised the point for me this week of how fickle our society is in the way we give approval to people. Where do you seek approval from? Where do you look to, or who do you look to for approval? If you are looking to get some money, you might get approval from a bank. You're looking to travel overseas, you get a visa approval from another government. If you want to get a driver's license, you need approval from the RTA, or maybe your doctor. Whose approval, though, do you look for in life? Who do we seek approval from to let us know that we're doing the right thing, that we're doing a good job in life, that we're going the right direction? And maybe it's parents, family, yourself, friends, work. Where do you look for those words of encouragement saying, "You're doing the right thing, you have my approval"? Well, the word we come across in Matthew 5 a lot is the word blessed. or blessed, for those who like many syllables in a word. Blessed is a word that we hear a lot in the Bible, but what does it mean? Have you ever wondered? What does it mean? Some, I think, poor translations say happy. Happy are those who are poor in spirit. I don't think that's a good translation. Let me give you an idea of a translation I think works all the way through the Bible for this work, this word blessed, both in the Hebrew in the Old Testament and the Greek in the New Testament, and that's the word approved. The word blessed is well translated, I think, by approved, because the word blessed is about our relationship with God when it's talked about in the Bible. It's a statement of how things are with him. And so there are times in the Bible where we bless God. So Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 5, God is blessed by his people. And that's his people saying, we approve of you as our God. Not in a condescending way, but we follow you, we accept you, and we approve you as the one we follow. And then, of course, most of the references of blessing in the Bible are God blessing us, or God approving us. It's God's way of saying, our relationship is right. Things are good between us. I approve of you. I approve of what you're doing. I approve of your direction in life. And that's what we have here. What Jesus has for us here is his Sermon on the Mount. Here is Jesus saying, this is the way to get God's approval. This is the way to be people who are approved by God. This is the way to be blessed by God. Because we often seek approval or blessing from people in the world. But what Jesus says is that what's more important is that we seek and find approval from God. To be blessed by God. So what's more important in our life is actually to be people who are blessed, people who are approved by God, rather than seeking a blessing from the people of the world. So how are we blessed? How do we live as people who are blessed by God? Well, if you notice in verses 3 to 10, Jesus talks about blessing by talking about our character. You know, he doesn't talk about what the world talks about. He doesn't talk about what we do or what we have. That's the way the world gives approval. What do you do? What do you have? You ever notice that when you start talking to someone for the first time? And within the first minute or so, usually there's that question, so what do you do for a living? And what do you have? Do you have a family? Do you have a job? Do you have a car? Do you have a house? You know, where do you live? It's all about what you do and what you have. But God asks the question, who are you? It's my approval of you, my blessing of you. It doesn't depend on what you do or what you have. It depends on who you are. Have you ever done one of those psychological personality tests? Like a Myers-Briggs thing? I've done so many of them, which may get you a bit worried about who I am. It's for my job as a teacher and then as in ministry. They make you do, I think the last, for ministry, I think I had 640 questions or something. You know, all the same thing. They want to make sure, in blunt terms, you're not a psychopath. And that's pretty much the end of it. But the way those psychological tests do bring about, they ask questions about how extroverted you are, how intuitive you are, how you use your feelings, and how your judgment is. They're I think, the four big ones that they test in those personality tests. Apparently, I'm a very expressed extrovert. I couldn't believe that. That's just amazing, isn't it? A very expressed extrovert. I have the same personality as Oprah Winfrey and Sean Connery and Ronald Reagan, but we won't mention that. What does the world judge us by? Even a psychological test will judge us by those sorts of things, those sorts of parts of our personality, but Jesus confronts us about our character. Jesus measures differently. He's not talking about a worldly perspective. He's talking about a kingdom of God perspective. Just before I start, it's important that we see the context. Some people like to spend, you know, 8 weeks preaching through the Beatitudes, these 8 verses. They really are all saying the same thing. They're all saying of how we seek approval is through our character, which must be a character that reflects Jesus, God the man. That's what it should be. If you have a look at verse 3 and verse 10, they're called an inclusio. They start and end with the same thing, which is the topic. And the topic is this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It starts and finishes with the main blessing, the main game, if you like. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is a passage about the kingdom of heaven. This is a passage about being approved in character for the kingdom of heaven. This is about Jesus saying, to be approved by God, to be approved as a member of the kingdom of heaven, this is the character that God wants to see reflected in you, the character of his son Jesus. So because they all say the same things, I want to go through these eight blessings quickly. But that's why I've written them down for you, a little translation for you in the sermon outline, so you can take it home and have a think in more depth about it. But I want us to get the whole big picture of this. Let's go through them now. Spiritually speaking, remember, blessing number one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God approves the poor in spirit. Now what does it mean to be poor in spirit? It means he approves those who are spiritually poor. Not people who don't understand anything spiritually, but people who are spiritually humbled. That's another word we could use for poor. Humbled by their own sin. Not people who are self-righteous and proud and arrogant, but people who are humbled by their sin, like Isaiah, who says in Isaiah 6:5 to God, woe to me, I am ruined, I am a man of unclean lips. He is spiritually poor. He is humbled by his sinfulness before God. That's the first blessing. Those who are humbled in their own sin. Number two, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Not those who mourn because someone passed away and they're sad in a worldly sense, but mourning spiritually. The person God approves is one who mourns spiritually for the state of this sinful world. So again, you look at Isaiah in chapter 6, verse 5. He laments that he even lives among a people of unclean lips. He lives among a sinful world, and we as Christians should mourn that, spiritually mourn. Not give up on the world, not ignore it, not pretend it's not there, but mourn like Jesus as he wept over Jerusalem. Blessed are those who mourn, for you'll be comforted. God approves people who mourn, spiritually mourn, for this world. Number three, blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. The meek are not the shy and quiet people. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about the spiritually meek. In other words, those who put themselves last. Those who lift others up. They are spiritually meek because they think of themselves last. They think of the needs of others first. So they are spiritually meek, spiritually humbled below others. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's fairly straightforward. God approves those, he blesses those, who spiritually desire to follow God. To follow his will rather than man's will. Those who hunger and thirst, who have a desire to seek God's righteousness, to seek God's way in their life. Not chasing status and power and wealth like this world. And God says those who hunger and thirst for God's way will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, number five, for they will be shown mercy. God approves the merciful. Jesus shows us God's mercy in his sacrificial death for our sin. That's mercy, that's kindness, compassion, forgiveness. And it's no wonder that God approves of those who show that same mercy to others, because it shows we've understood what God has done for us. God approves those who reflect his character, his mercy, his compassion and kindness. Blessed are the pure in heart, number six, for they will see God. Again, spiritually speaking, the pure in heart, and we can reference back to Psalm 24 for this one. Have a look at these verses. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord. A pure heart is a heart that is transparent. Not only one that is honest at times, but honest all the time and genuine. Not someone who puts on a show for others. Not someone who lives a double life. Not someone who acts nicely at church, but is angry at home or unmerciful at work. Someone who is honest in their heart in the way they treat people. God blesses, God approves of people whose heart is pure and not two-faced. Number seven, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. God approves those who have a desire for peace. Not only peace of people between people, but people between God as well. It's God's heart to seek peace. God approves a heart that seeks peace. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20. We know this verse, I think, pretty well. Paul says, "We are Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And that's the desire God wants to see in our heart. Reconciliation. Peace between men and men and between men and God. Do we seek that? It seems an odd thing to ask, but when there is tension, when there is argument, when there is conflict, do we seek peace? Or do we seek to win? Do we seek vengeance? Or do we pursue peace like God would? And finally, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we align ourselves with the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of the world, when we put others first, when we show mercy, when we grieve at sin, when we humble ourselves before God and before others, when we seek peace, when we're meek and pure and we hunger and thirst to follow God, we will face persecution. We will face opposition. And Jesus is saying, when you face that persecution because of righteousness, because you're following him, then remember this, that the kingdom of heaven is yours. When you are outed for that, when people are against you because of your beliefs, because you're different. He said that's what you're aiming for as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian. You're aiming for God's approval because you're part of God's kingdom. And God wants to remind us of that. When you seek to please God and seek approval from him and not men, and when you find yourself on the outside and people against you because of that, remember, you're part of the kingdom. And your inheritance is the kingdom. That's where you belong. That's where all your aim is in life. To be seeking God's approval, to be in his kingdom. Jesus gives us these eight verses really to ask ourselves the question. Not the question that the world asks of what do you do and what do you have, but to ask ourselves the question, who am I? Who am I? What is my character? Am I a person that seeks the approval of God in my life? There's a story about a police officer who was sitting an exam to enter the police force. And the question was a scenario. They gave him a situation he was in. He had to say what he would do in that situation. It goes something like this. You're on duty, walking down the main street, and there's an explosion. And a car is thrown into the air, trapping a man underneath. And the explosion causes a fire in a nearby shop. And there are several people trapped inside this burning building. A pregnant woman runs out from another building, having brought on labour through the explosion also needs your help. A child falls into the nearby river from the explosion and is drowning. And a power pole collapses across the road, crushing a car and trapping three people inside. What do you do first? And the response was, the first thing I do is to quickly take off my uniform and blend into the crowd. And how often do we think that's the easiest thing to do? That when things are difficult around us and we don't, we struggle to stay in God's kingdom. We struggle to keep seeking his approval and not get sidetracked by man's approval. It's easy to take off the uniform and blend in with the crowd and not be different. That's why God asks us, Jesus asks us in this very passage, who are you? What is your character in that situation? Do you take off the uniform and blend in with the crowd? When things are difficult, when life throws up challenges that are difficult in the face of this world, what is your character? Who are you? Are you the person who blends, or are you the person who stands out? The world asks us, what do you do? What do you have? That's how we measure people. But God says, who are you? And then you know what he does at the end of that whole passage? He then tells us who we are. And it's a great comfort that Jesus doesn't leave us hanging. Here he is, verse 13, have a look at it. There it is. He says, you are the salt of the earth. Salt is a preservative, of course. It's also a flavouring for food. We could have quite an enamoured discussion, I'm sure, about what Jesus was exactly talking about of being salt in the world. But it's really quite simple. Salt is salty. When it stops being salty, it's fairly useless for anything. It can't be a preservative, it can't be a flavouring. And when a Christian stops being salty, when we're supposed to be salt and we stop being salty, we become useless. We are the salt of the earth. We are made to be salty. Again, he says to us, you are the light of the world. This is who you are. In the world of darkness, God's people are light. The light of the world. You are God's light, so he says, don't hide. You don't light a light and then hide it under a bowl. You put it on a stand so it lights up the whole area. You are God's light in this world when you seek God's approval. When you seek God's approval by being humble, when you grieve at sin, when you put others first, when you thirst for righteousness, when you show mercy, when you have a genuine, pure heart, when you're a peacemaker, when you face persecution, when you're different from the world, you're giving light to darkness. And it doesn't matter how small you feel that your light is. It always amazes me in a blackout. We have so many lights switched on and so much light in the house. It all goes out. And then it just takes one candle to light the whole room. Because when it's dark, that's all it takes, a little light. So it doesn't matter how small or large you think your light is. It is light in a world of darkness. And light, no matter how small or large, pierces darkness. So there is no more darkness. And Jesus says, you are light. You are the light of the world. Blessed are you when you seek God's approval, because you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Now, I often hear that this phrase that people just love hearing. You're living for an audience of one. That as Christians, we are only putting on a show, if you like, or only acting, or only living to an audience of one. This idea that God is the only one that matters. And yes, God is the only one we seek approval to, but in fact what the rest of this passage says is that we're the light of the world. That means we have an audience of about 7 billion. We play to one God. We live for one God. We seek the approval of only one God, but the audience is 7 billion. Because we are the light of the world. And the way we live, the character that we have, gives that light to a world in darkness. We don't play to an audience of one. When we look in the mirror, what do we see? Do we look and see and ask the question, what do I do? What do I have? Do we measure our world the way the world measures our world? Or do we look at our character? Who am I? Do I seek God's character? Do I seek His approval? Do I seek His character? Let me encourage you. Let these words encourage you to be salt, to be light, to be different. We're going to sing a great song now that reminds us of who we are, of who our great God is, who we are before Him. He is majestic and we are His. We are here to be His salt and His light.